Information, please. Wake up, Mr. and Mrs. America. Time to stump the expert. This is the fifth in a series of struggles between the public and the expert, a new type of question and answer game in which the timid public turns on the mental giant. If you want to take part in this new game now sweeping the country, here's how it's done. Send us questions and the correct answers. If acceptable to our editors, they will be presented to a board of experts for the first time during each broadcast. Questions accepted will win $2 each for the person who submits them. Any questions the experts cannot answer will be rewarded with an extra $5. The contest will be refereed by our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. I present Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. We have a particularly brilliant quartet here this evening, and while they're busy polishing up their Phi Beta Kappa keys, I'll introduce them to you. First, we have our old friend, the famous columnist, Franklin P. Adams, holding his hand to his head to keep the information from spilling out. Next, Mr. Marcus Duffield, day news editor of the Herald Tribune, and our shark on current events. Next, we have Mr. John Kieran, who not only runs a masterly sports column in the New York Times, but also claims to know everything about birds, beasts, bees, and flowers. We shall see, Mr. Kieran, we shall see. And finally, as our special guest of honor, I am proud to introduce the world-famous playwright, Mark Connelly, author of The Green Pastures, and at present producer of The Two Bouquets, one of the most charming plays of this season, or any season. Hope you like that, Mr. Connelly. We're always nice to our experts for the first 3 minutes. Now, folks, please remember, these four towering intellects, let's see your intellect tower, Mr. Adams, for a moment, thank you, have not seen these questions in advance. This is an informal program in which anything may happen, and very likely will. Questions are addressed to the entire board. Any member who gets a brainstorm may raise his hand. Now let him take a crack at the answer. The question must be answered by one member, except where the question is composed of more than two parts, in which case the board can cooperate. But if any part is answered incorrectly, $5 is forfeited. When you hear that cash register sound, that means $5 is actually being paid out to the lucky questioner. Is that clear? Now, a number of people are here in the studio now, all set to ask the questions they sent in. Those questions which we've received from out-of-town listeners will be presented to the board by your master of ceremony. We're all ready now to throw our questions to the lions. Listen carefully. The experts are sharpening their wits. And just for fun, we'll start the program with a little music. First question comes from Mr. James Franklin of Chicago, Illinois. We're going to play a few notes from seven famous songs, which I shall name. You are asked, my board of experts, to name the performer who made each song famous. And you have to name 5 out of 7 correctly. You can do that cooperatively. The first is My Man. Mr. Adams.
Fanny Bryce.
That's quite correct. The second is My Bill. Mr. Connelly is crazy to answer that question. Mr. Connelly.
Helen Morgan.
That's quite correct. The third, It's So Delightful to Be Married. Adams with that well-known confident smile on his face.
Anna Held.
That's quite correct. The next is Some of These Days.
They look worried. They look worried.
Still don't know. They're talking to each other. Mr. Adams never heard of it. Some of These Days, made famous by Sophie Tucker. That's one wrong so far. The next is Give My Regards to Broadway. All right, Mr. Kieran, you seem to know that one.
I think it was a great baseball fan by the name of George M. Cohen.
Quite correct. The sixth, Whoopi.
Whoopi.
Connolly at bat again.
Eddie Cantwell.
Quite correct. And last and finally, Minnie the Moocher. Oh, I think we've got them. I think we've got them. Miss Connolly?
I know a man who sang it.
Who was it?
Joe Cook.
I don't want Joe Cook. I won't accept him tonight. Well, they got 5 out of 7, so they just escaped losing the $5. Actually, Minnie the Moocher was made famous, I think, by Cab Calloway. Wouldn't that be right? Thank you very much. The next question comes to us from Mr. Dillard Gay, 9811 Dearborn Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. Question. What man was nominated to run for the office of President of the United States while serving a term in prison? Mr. Duffield.
Eugene B. Debs.
Eugene B. Debs is correct. Have you ever wondered what the situation would have been, Mr. Duffield, if he'd ever been elected under those circumstances? Perish the thought. Next question. From Dr. George F. Herity, 674 Park Place, Brooklyn, New York. Now, Dr. Herity has some conditions about this question. In the first place, in order to answer the question, I shall have to ask all four of my experts to give me the beginning of the Yale cheer. The Yale cheer.
How about reading it, Frank?
Adams?
I won't give it at all.
Adams won't give it. Why not?
I don't like Yale.
Very bad. Adams not allowed to say that sort of thing over the air. Do you realize that if you don't give us the Yale cheer together with your colleagues, we are going to lose the sum of $5?
I'll give it.
All right, gentlemen. 1, 2, 3.
Break it, kick, 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 kick.
Now. But that's only the beginning of Dr. Herity's question. The question is, with what animal and what famous poet is that cheer associated? Mr. Connolly.
Associated with frogs and Aristophanes.
Aristophanes play the frogs quite great. They're pretty good so far, but we'll break them down. We'll break them down. This one comes from Miss Nell Wynn, 1203 Woodside Building, Greenville, South Carolina. Question. What popular dances bear or include the names of each of the following? Now, you can get together on this, boys. A fruit. Volunteer. What popular dances bear or include the names of each of the following? A fruit, Mr. Connolly?
Big Apple.
Big Apple is correct. Grapevine would do, of course. A city. Mr. Adams?
Charleston.
Charleston is correct. Also Chicago. Also Baltimore. That's all I have down on the cards. An animal? Mr. Kieran, you know all about animals. All right, Mr. Adams.
The foxtrot.
Foxtrot's correct. Another one. Connolly, do you know another one?
The grizzly bear.
Grizzly bear, bunny hug, camel walk. Oh, there are thousands of them. At least three. Four, a state. That's a state of the union, I understand.
Virginia Reel.
That's correct. That came from Mr. Duffield, current events expert. And finally, a vehicle. A vehicle. They look all broken up.
Camel walk?
Camel. What am I going to do with a man like that? He thinks a camel is a vehicle.
Ship?
I won't accept it.
A drag.
I beg pardon?
A drag?
A drag isn't a vehicle either.
Oh, it is.
You mean a wheelbarrow?
Never riding a drag?
Don't argue with me. You have no time. No, the answer is trucking. Trucking, trucking. It's as simple as ABC, and that's going to cost you $5. Next question. Miss Esther Quitt of London, Ontario, is here to read a question herself. Miss Quitt.
In what modern country did a king succeed his son to the throne?
I'll repeat that, thank you. In what modern country did a king succeed his son to the throne? Mr. Duffield.
King Carol took the throne of Romania away from his poor youngster, Michael.
That's quite correct. Now, the next one has to do entirely with noses. Noses, you know, N-O-S-E-S. And it comes to us all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, from Mr. Jonathan Rush. The following description refer to stage personalities or roles that made them famous. From these descriptions, can you name the actors? One, a long-nosed gallant. Miss Connelly.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
That's quite correct. Two, a red-nosed spellbinder. Miss Connelly again.
W.C. Fields.
That's quite correct. Apparently, Mr. Connelly knows something about the stage. Had no idea where he's picked up his knowledge. Third, a nose for crime. Now, this may be motion picture personalities, of course. Mr. Connelly again.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. Very good. And four, the biggest nose of them all. Mr. Curie.
Mr. James Durante.
Mr. James Durante is correct. You wouldn't accept Jumbo the Elephant, I suppose.
As a pinch hitter, yes.
Now, Mr. Joe Eakins of 345 West 86th Street is here tonight to read his question. What Mr. Eakins has done is to translate two famous lines by a contemporary poet. He's going to read them to you.
It is unusual for the male of the species to make amatory overtures to a female of the species whose orbs are obscured by lenses. Can you quote the original and give the source?
I'll run that through once more. It is unusual for the male of the species to make amatory overtures, lovely phrase, to a female of the species whose orbs are obscured by lenses. Why, they all seem to know it. They all know it. Mr. Kieran has two hands up. Mr. Kieran.
Men don't make passes at gals with glasses by Dorothy Parker.
That's correct. Actually, you have changed the lines a little bit, made them a trifle ungrammatical, Mr. Kieran. Men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses, is the correct version, but I think we'll let you go. The next one comes from Mr. Lou Auerbach, 134 East Moshaloo Parkway, Bronx, New York. Explain each of the following. The board can get together on this. Dutch courage, Dutch treat, Dutchman's britches, the flying Dutchman. 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 The flying Dutchman.
That's one very brave. That's one very brave. That's one very brave.
Is that your explanation of what Dutch courage is? I'm afraid I must mark you wrong on that. Mr. Kieran.
Can I go backward on them?
Well, the question's been answered wrong already, but I'd like to get the correct answer from you.
Well, I think Dutch courage is courage inspired maybe by a good flow of beer.
Yes, that's quite
and,
correct.
And what's the second one?
The second one is Dutch treat.
Dutch treat, that's where you pay as you go.
Right. Dutchman's britches.
Oh, Dutchman's britches. That's right down my alley. That's Dicentra cucullaria.
I beg your pardon.
A small flower that is now out of season, blooms around here in April.
Well, why didn't you say that to begin with? And fourth, the Flying Dutchman.
Well, a Flying Dutchman is a marine legend. At least that's one of the Flying Dutchmen.
Correct. One's enough. Know any more Flying Dutchmen?
Yes. Hans Wagner, the famous shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mr. Kieran did very well for us, but unfortunately, Mr. Duffield's mistake got the rest of you in Dutch, and so you are losing $5. I'm sorry to say. So far, we have lost $10, I believe, to date. The next one comes from Mrs. Fern Palin, 2426 Mission Apartment 8, San Francisco, California. Now, listen carefully, gentlemen. Listen carefully. If a young lady, Mr. Adams is very attentive, sitting directly opposite you in a trolley car, suddenly started to nictitate. To nictitate. Explain why you would react in one of the following ways. Feel embarrassed? Call a policeman? Feel pleased? Mr. Curran.
Was she good looking?
The answer is always yes when there's any doubt. Yes.
Well, then you wouldn't be out of place to step over and sit beside her. Because she gave you the wink.
That's quite correct. Apparently, Mr. Sheeran, when he's not attending baseball games, sporting matches, has done a good deal of nictitation in his time. Thank you very much, Mr. Sheeran. What a life you've led. The next, from Mr. Bernard Gelb, 1290 Lafayette Avenue, Bronx, New York. identify the play, motion picture, or the actor with whom four of the following lines are associated. Now, there are five lines altogether. You've got to get four of them. The first is, that's all there is. There isn't any more. Volunteer. That's all there is any more. Miss Adams.
Miss Ethel Barrymore.
Yes, remember the play in which that was said? We won't count you wrong if you don't. Miss Conley, do you remember it?
Sunday.
Sunday is correct. The second. What's all the shooting for? Miss Conley.
The play is The Tavern.
That's correct. And do you remember the actor who made the line sing?
Yes. A little squat comedian.
Can you help us out, Miss Adams?
Hmm?
I think it was Arnold Daly, wasn't it?
No. It was not.
This is no time to walk.
It was not. It was said by the...
What have you got right on the tavern? I'm a very remarkable fella. I'm a very remarkable fella. I'm reading this off a card, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to get any false impressions. I'm a very remarkable fella, Mr. Connolly.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan? No,
yes.
That's wrong. That's one wrong so far. Can anyone supply the correct answer to that? It's from Seventh Heaven. And I suppose you might name Mr. Charles Farrell and Mr. James Stewart and Mr. Joseph Schildkraut as any one of the three actors who made the line famous. At least famous to some people. I never heard it before in my life. Four. Wait for Baby. Mr. Kieran.
That's from the war play by yes. Lawrence Starling.
That's right. Give us the name.
Just a minute. I'll have to pass that, Frank. It's going right on my mind.
What Price Glory.
What Price Glory is correct. All right. And never give a sucker an even break. Miss Connolly?
By W.C. Fields.
Yes,
in Poppy.
Right. In Poppy. Four out of five is what the boys got. Just by the skin of their teeth. Adam, stop nictitating it. Mr. Joseph Klein of 485 Ocean Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, sends us this very good question. Identify the following games. Tip Cat. That's T-I-P-C-A-T. Skittles. And Curling. Miss Kieran?
Why, Tip Cat is a game that you play with a small wooden peg and a stick that you tip it up with and then wallop it. You see the boys playing it around the street.
Quite right.
Skittles is a game from which we probably get our bowling game. And curling, of course, is a four-man team game that's played on ice where you shoot some heavy stones down at concentric circles down the rink.
That sounds quite correct. It is correct. Mr. Kieran, isn't Tip Cat also called Wanna Cat?
No, Wanna Cat is a baseball game. It's played with an insufficient number of boys to make up a full nine.
This is extra information that we're getting free of charge. However, the question was answered quite correct. From Mr. Winifred B. Rogerson of 47 Lemuel Avenue, Chicopee, Massachusetts, comes the following. Now, this is a very pretty question. To what birds, Mr. Kieran, this is more or less in your line, to what birds do the following questions based upon well-known songs refer? Now, there are five of them altogether, and you have to get all of the five. One, what bird was asked, why do you sit singing willow, tit, willow, tit, willow?
Little Tom Tit.
Little Tom Tit's correct, or Dicky Bird, I believe, in another stanza of that
yes,
song.
Sir.
Two, what bird went to sea with the flicky cat?
The owl.
That's still Mr. Kieran. He's a bear on birds. what bird woke me last night when all was still? Mr. Adams.
The nightingale.
The nightingale is correct. Four.
Took that bird out of my mouth.
To what bird are we urged to listen? Mr. Kieran?
Hark, hark, the lark.
No, sir. Are we urged to listen? Mr. Adams?
The mockingbird.
The mockingbird is correct. How about the fifth? To what bird are we urged to hark? And now,
For the second time, hark, hark,
I know,
hark.
But you missed our number four, and that's going to cost us $5. From Miss Inez Heibel of 226 Franklin Street, Butler, Pennsylvania, comes the following. Identify 3 out of 4 prominent women to whom these unusual first names belong. Now, these names are so unusual, I'm probably going to have a lot of fun pronouncing them. Here we go. The first is Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A. The second is Elzir, E-L-Z-I-R-E. The third is Hepzibah. I won't even try to spell that one. And the fourth is Farida, S-A-R-I-D-A. Now, can any one of you gentlemen take the whole question and answer it complete?
What was the second one?
The second one was Elzir, E-L-Z-I-R-E. I'm doing my best on the pronunciation this evening. They're making notes, folks. Connolly's brow is furrowed. You drive a mule team through one of those furrows. Anybody got a mule team?
I only got 3 answers.
Well, let's have the 3.
Marina,
which one did you got?
Is the Duchess of Kent.
Marina is the Duchess of Kent, correct.
Hepzibah is Yehudi of Menuhin's sister.
That's correct.
And Farida is the Queen of Egypt.
That's correct. And let's have Elzir. Can anyone give us Elzir? We've got the question in the bag. We've named 3 out of 4, but let's get Elzir. Mr. Duffield. Now, Mr. Duffield is an authority on current events.
Her face is familiar, but I can't remember her name.
You say her face is familiar?
Yes, we used to play Indians together.
You used to play Indians with Elzir. Well, you must have had a fine time with her. It's Mrs. Dion, the mother of the quintuplet. Well, they got 3 out of 4. Very good. Shame on Mr. Duffield, an expert on current events, not knowing a question concerned with the quintuplets. Mr. David R. Scott is here, 1205 75th Street, Brooklyn, New York, to read his question. Mr. David R. Scott.
If betel is a shrubby plant, the leaves of which are chewed by certain Asiatics, what is betel husk?
Read that over again, please.
If betel is a shrubby plant, the leaves of which are chewed by certain Asiatics, what is Betelgeuse?
Anybody know the answer to that?
How do you spell that last part?
How do you spell that Betelgeuse?
Betelgeuse.
Well, that's,
All right, Mr. Connolly, what is Betelgeuse?
It's, one of the largest of the distant stars.
That's quite correct. It's one of the largest of the distant stars.
And it's also spelled wrong.
G-E-U-S-E.
Don't quarrel, ladies and gentlemen. We have too little time for quarreling. The next question, I'll read myself. For Mr. Jones, David L. Jones, as a matter of fact, of Denville, Massachusetts. If you caught a Frenchman in the act of stern mutation, sounds like poetry, why might you do one of the following, and which one? Cry, vive la France, and kiss him. Challenge him to a duel. Bless him. Mr. Kieran.
Why, give him the French of our English, God bless you, because he's simply sneezing.
Yes, stern mutation is sneezing. That's correct. These sporting editors pick up the darndest information. The next one comes from Mrs. Robert W. Holmes of 28 Billingham Street, Somerville, Massachusetts. Name the defeated presidential candidate of the Republican or Democratic Party beginning with 1916 and in order. Mr. Duffield.
I don't know why I always get these presidents. 1916 was Mr. Hughes.
That's correct.
1920 was Mr. Warren... Wait a minute now. Mr. Cox.
That's correct.
1924 was Mr. John W. Davis.
Correct.
1928 was Mr. Alfred E. Smith.
Correct.
1932 was... who was that man?
No political commentary over there. 1932.
That is Mr. Landon.
1932.
Oh, I skipped one.
I beg your pardon. What was 1932?
1932 was Mr. Hoover.
That's correct. And
1936, Mr. Landon.
That's quite correct. Now for Mrs. W.L. Greer, 1709 Harvard Avenue, Canton, Ohio, comes this question. Name four books, you only have to name four, whose titles suggest kinds of weather. Weather, you know weather. All right, let's get cooperative answers on this. First volunteer, Mr. Duffy.
If winter comes.
Winter comes, very good. Mr. Kieran.
Bromfield, the rain came.
That's correct. Miss Connolly, perhaps you have one. Or Miss Adams.
Must they be novels?
Small books.
Storm Over Mexico.
Storm Over Mexico is perfectly all right. And four? We have three so far. Mr. Kieran?
I'm sorry, I heard a whisper of the south wind.
South wind is correct. Now, I think really it ought to be perfectly fair and square. We ought to see if we can't get one more.
Rain with Gene Eagles.
Rain with Gene Eagles turned out to be a book, finally. That's quite correct. Oh, there are a number of others one might mention. Typhoon, The Mortal Storm, which is a great bestseller at the moment. A High Wind in Jamaica. And here's one that'll slay you. George Moore's Hail and Farewell. The total record of penalties so far is $15. They're not doing badly, not doing badly. From Miss Helen Lewis of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, comes the following very amusing question. To what does each of the following words refer? Schnitzel, Schnitzler, Schnozzle, Schnauzer, and Schnockenberg. I'll give it to you one at a time. Schnitzel. Volunteers on schnitzel. Mr. Adams is on schnitzel. What do you have, Mr. Adams?
Schnitzel is a veal cutlet.
A veal cutlet, correct. Now, Schnitzler.
He's a playwright.
He's a playwright. Now, Schnozzle. The radio audience cannot see that gesture, Mr. Kieran.
The nostril. Two nostrils. I mean, a good-sized pair.
Yes. A good nose. Schnauzer, Mr. Kieran.
A schnauzer is the type of dog, a long-haired dog.
Oh, and finally, Schnockenberg. This is the one that's going to slay them. Schnockenberg. Don't you know it, Mr. Kieran?
Well, it sounds over a mountain.
Oh, no. Might have been a mountain originally. Schnockenberg, if no one knows it, is a contemporary American painter, and that is going to cost us $5. Well, we have it. Schnitzel, Schnitzler, Schnozzle, Schnauzer, Schnockenberg. Pretty snappy, I think. Uh-huh. Have time for one more question. This one comes from Mr. Eugene Bird. Of Black Mountain, North Carolina, who were the first diet enthusiasts, according to Mother Goose? The first diet enthusiasts, Miss Connolly.
Mr. and Mrs. Spratt.
Yes. Jack Spratt would eat no fat, his wife would eat no lean. Of course, there was also Taffy, the Welshman, who was somewhat partial to beef. We won't allow him in, though. I think that's about all we'll have time for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And now for the total penalty, $20. The kitty has been reduced by that round sum. Thank you, all members of the board and all the folks that have submitted questions. Now, Mr. Cross, our announcer has a word for you about next week's contest. Good night, everybody, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another quiz contest between the public and the experts. The board of experts for next week will include Franklin P. Adams, Bernard Jaffe, John Kieran, and Howard Dietz, author of Broadway plays and publicity director for the MGM Studios. Send us your questions and don't forget to include the correct answers. There are no restrictions on the number you may submit. For each question chosen, you get $2. Then if the board flops on that question, you get $5 more. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Questions on all subjects are welcome. History, sports, literature, music, science, movies, and so on. Make the questions interesting and amusing on subjects the experts should know and the public would like to learn about. So come on, everybody, join our new game of quizzing and stumping the experts. Send your questions to Information, Please, WJZ, the National Broadcasting Company, New York City.